are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenz, who up to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network, and we've got a lot of fantasy sports talk on the program today. Howard Bender will join us. We're going to talk some NFL fantasy football. George Kurtz, Roto Expert in the house. We're talking Major League Baseball, a little DFS for those of you looking for some action this evening on the diamond. Steve Merrill steps up and in, as he does every Monday and Friday. We'll talk some Major League Baseball, take a look at Merrill's power rankings. The wild card chase is on. The pennant chase is on. Every game freaking counts from here on out. We break it down with Steve Merrill. We'll start talking football with Steve this Friday. We'll wait until Friday. We'll have a bunch of preseason games. Of course, week one of the National Football League preseason officially in the books. We'll take a look at this from a fantasy perspective. Which players have caught our eyes? Are there any rookies that are going to have a real impact? A lot of people talk about rookies from a fantasy perspective often and how they're going to be used in their respective offenses when we really don't freaking know. We have no clue, all right? And it's you can't just tell from a preseason game. You got to pay attention to what's going on in camp. But there's one rookie that I know is going to be an impact player. And we're going to talk about him with Howard Bender. We're fired up for football, preseason college football, rapidly approaching right now. It's a great time of the year. Great time of the year. Oh, don't forget about Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. That's around the corner as well. So with the National Football League preseason having kicked off, with the Major League Baseball games starting to count, with the big fight rapidly approaching, with NASCAR. NASCAR's only got three races left in the regular season. In other words, there's a hell of a lot of stuff going on right now. It's the calm before the storm. Everybody's got football fever, so you might not have noticed over the weekend that LeVar Ball threw down against Ice Cube in a long-range shootout challenge. It was a three-point shot. They're calling it a four-point shot. Little, you know, it was behind the three-point line. So this is the same LeVar Ball. Let's just set the record here. This is the same LeVar Ball that said he could easily beat Michael Jordan in a game of one-on-one. The same LeVar Ball that's now trolling Shaquille O'Neal, and he says he could easily beat Shaq in a game of one-on-one. The same LeVar Ball that said he was a better tight end in high school and football player than Rob Gronkowski. Okay, I just wanted to clarify. You mean that LeVar Ball. So LeVar Ball actually showed up to the Staples Center yesterday and took on Ice Cube at the Big Three Challenge. So they had a little bit of a three-point shootout. They were calling it the four-point challenge. And LeVar Ball lost to Ice Cube. All right? He lost to freaking Ice Cube. Ice Cube's 48 years old, man. All right, you lost to a 48-year-old rapper. Damn good one, too. All right? An actor. Yeah. You know, and Ice Cube's a decent actor. He's just in bad movies. You know, Boys in the Hood was awesome. He was great in that movie, but I don't think he's made a good movie since then. But nevertheless, we wish him the best of luck with this Big Three stuff. So LeVar Ball shows up. He hit one freaking shot. And he actually tried to take credit for one of the shots that Ice Cube hit. They were both shooting at the same time, which is kind of stupid. And they were both shooting from the same spot on the floor. So they're right beside each other. So they're both heaving balls up. I guess we can't play the rights. We can't play. We don't have the rights. Ooh. So you know, basically, they're both bombing away. And, you know, they both shot at the same time. And, you know, the ball went in. It was clearly Ice Cube shot the one in. LeVar Ball's like, yeah, that's mine, right? That's no, it's not yours, LeVar. No, I hope this just puts everything to rest right now. All right? I hope it just silences him. Although you know it won't. You know it's not going to humble him or anything like that. I'll give credit to LeVar Ball in the sense that the dude has fun in his life. And there's enough hate in this world, literally and figuratively, unfortunately, that we don't need to panic. I'm not here to rip anybody. You know, he's having fun, and I'm having fun with that he's having fun. But now, it's like, all right, you had your fun. LeVar Ball's like the Sharknado of the summer, all right? You know, the first Sharknado was cool. The second one, hey, what are they going to do? Now they're on a Sharknado 5 and stuff. It's like, all right, guys, I think it's time to put the franchise to bed. It's a similar situation with LeVar right now. You had your fun. You went on Monday Night Raw. You trolled everybody. But now it's time to get real and serious. And the fact that you can't beat Ice Cube, freaking Ice Cube. Remember the show Pros versus Joes? Real good show. Like, seriously, I would take, like, any freaking Joe against LeVar Ball. Like, I would take a kid in the park against LeVar Ball. I would beat LeVar Ball at this point in time. I'm a better three-point shooter than he is somehow. All right, although I will say I did choke in the NBA Hoop It Up three-point contest. I'm a damn good three-point shooter. I got in the NBA Hoop It Up in a competition, and I went 3 of 24. I took 24 three-point shots. I hit three of them. I didn't take it as good as LeVar Ball did yesterday. I was freaking snapping, but that's another story. That was a while ago. We did make it to the finals, though, that year of the NBA Hoop It Up. We didn't win. LeVar Ball, like, seriously, you wouldn't beat a Joe from Pros versus Joes at basketball. So just shut the hell up, all right? Just shut the hell up. You know, God only can hope, and Laker fans can only hope, that your son can shoot the ball better than you can, although he can't, really can't. Now we see where Lonzo gets his three-point shot from, his stupid father. But, hey, it's all in good fun. I give him credit for showing up. Now sit down and shut the hell up, LeVar. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network. I am Gabriel Morenci. We are live. We've got three guests on the program, so we'll get right down to business. Howard Bender is going to join us in a couple of minutes. We've got George Kurtz, so a lot of fantasy talk on the show today. We'll talk some MLB, DFS. We'll talk some NFL, fantasy football. And Steve Merrill bats leadoff. We'll talk some Major League Baseball and a little NASCAR to get things going. Of course, Monday is the day that Steve Merrill releases his Major League Baseball power rankings, and the Los Angeles Dodgers have been at the top of the board for about a month right now, if not longer, and justifiably so. They're in the midst of a 48-9 run. Steve Merrill steps up. And then, what's going on, Steve?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to put how many games they've been favored in, because 2 weeks ago, you know, Gabe, we talked about it. They've been favored in 39 straight games when I released my power ratings 2 weeks ago. I look back over the past 2 weeks. They were -102 against Greinke, I think, about a week ago. So I guess technically that's an underdog. But they have not been plus money now in almost 60-some games, I believe. So it's just remarkable.
Yeah, it's been an incredible run that they're on right now. And it's interesting. There's a lot of correlation between the Dodgers, the Astros, and the Nationals, in which they've run away with it so much. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they play down the stretch. It's hard to keep this, you know, this clip up, and then if you start losing, somebody gets hurt, etc. We'll get to that with the Nationals in a second. Some interleague play this week versus the White Sox and the Tigers, and you figure the Dodgers will sort of, you know, mail it in one of these series or get lazy, but, you know, the White Sox are a train wreck and the Tigers aren't much better. No reason why the Dodgers just don't continue winning series.
I mean, the Dodgers could play their backups and probably beat the White Sox, right? I mean, they're second to last in my power rankings. But what's interesting about the White Sox, we always talk about momentum in baseball. They were on a 3-17 run a couple weeks ago when I released my power rankings. They're second to last still, but they've won five of the last six games, yep, going back to last week. So it's just amazing how these bad, bad teams, when they do win, they win them in clumps. And I tell you, you almost just use like a trend-following momentum indicator in baseball and make a lot of money.
They really do. And it's such a cliche. We hear people all the time, oh, when you bet on baseball, well, you know, the worst team in the league is going to win 60, 65 times.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
We hear that. But you're right, Steve. It happens in chunks. And I say it all the time. The worst teams in baseball, I remember earlier in the year, the Philadelphia Phillies had a 5-6 game win streak. It happens. The Padres will get hot. Baseball is a sport of momentum. It is. You know, it's a lot like what we do. And, you know, Steve, you're gaming every day. You're picking stuff every day. Sometimes when you get cold, you get cold. And when you're hot, you're hot. It's just the way that it is. It's human element. It's the human element of the game that the fantasy guys, you can't quantify. You're playing every day for 162 days with very few exceptions, days off every 18 days. The pendulum swings. It just does.
And I think something you got to keep in mind in baseball, it's different than all the other sports because they're playing 3- and 4-game sets, yep, against the same opponent. So sometimes it's not necessarily you getting hot. You might be lucky in catching a couple of opponents that are getting cold. or both things happening. So that's another reason it runs in streaks, because you're not playing a different team like in the NBA in a different city 4 out of 5 nights sometimes on a road trip.
Good point.
You're playing the same team 3 times. You're playing the other team. So, in fact, the power rankings, that's why I always bring up who teams are playing, because they only play 2 teams all week. Like you said, the Dodgers are playing the White Sox and the Tigers, so they most likely continue to win this week.
Yeah, that's a great point, Steve. So Houston Astros, they snap a 5-game losing streak yesterday. They're in Arizona tonight, actually. Interesting, and it's not often, I don't know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but the Houston Astros aren't underdogs very often either, Steve.
No, they're not. And what's interesting about Houston is that they have the second-best record in baseball, ahead of the Nationals by 2 wins, and they've lost 5 of their last 6 games.
Yeah.
So that's how good they've been as well. They're on a 1-5 run, and they have the second-most wins in baseball still.
Yeah, Greinke on the hill, and this is the spot when Arizona are always favored, even against good teams. I remember that game against the Dodgers. I took the Dodgers in that game against Greinke, and it was like 1-1. Going into the 6th or 7th, and the Dodgers, it was a rarity that they gave up late runs in a baseball game, and Arizona ended up winning that game. So you've got Greinke and the Astros tonight. D-backs are -150. I'm going to pass. McHugh's on the hill tonight for the Astros.
Yeah, I've got Colorado 5, Arizona 6 in my rankings. That means 3 of the top 6 teams are from the NL West, with the Dodgers, of course, leading the way. We keep talking about it week after week. At least I'm not. I don't think you are either. We're not big believers in Colorado and Arizona, And I keep feeling like they don't deserve to be that high, but they're getting it done. Arizona lost 4 of their last 6 games, but that came against the Dodgers and the Cubs, and now they play the Astros. So you can't really drop them too much from losing to some of the best teams in baseball. Now, I know Chicago's farther down in the rankings, but they were the number one team all of last year, and I still think they're going to be a division winner when all is said and done.
You've got the Washington Nationals situation in which, similar to the Dodgers and the Astros, they've locked up a playoff spot. They know they're going to be playing baseball in October, and they hope into early November as well at this point. Yet their health, it's all about their health. And they've had bad luck over the years. And as a Montreal Expo fan, I can't say I'm shedding any tears over their luck, Steve. But they have had bad luck. They've been a great regular season team ad nauseum for years right now. But every time they get to the playoffs, it seems like they don't have the rotation. Their guys in the lineup get hurt. And I don't know, maybe it's a good thing that these guys get hurt now as opposed to later. So we talked about Strasburg. Strasburg's in that rehab stint and assignment. And then we got the Bryce Harper situation, real ugly fall, in which it's sort of like, tripping on the sidewalk, tripping over a crack on the sidewalk, Steve. He tumbled over first base.
Well, yeah, and, there's a good thing about having a big lead and a bad thing. The bad thing is the concern that, you're going to be complacent come playoff time. But the good thing is what you're seeing right now. The Nationals went 5-2 this past week. They have a huge lead in the division. They're able to now rest Bryce Harper as long as he needs. They're not going to have to rush him back. So that's a huge positive. They're taking their time with Steven Strasburg as well. In fact, he's supposed to make a rehab start in Potomac tonight in minor league.
Yeah.
So I think that this is going to actually benefit the Nationals. And, I've always felt over the years, Gabe, that the whole momentum thing is overrated. In fact, in the 90s and early 2000s, NFL teams that were cold, NCAA teams that came in off a loss in the tournament,
you're right,
they always did well. That has switched the last decade or so, so I don't know what to make of that. But if you look back over the last 20 or 30 years, there's really no such thing as, a hot team going into the playoffs. It all equals out.
You're right. They reset in the playoffs. It resets. The only difference is, and you talk about it with football, I am a believer in the momentum from a standpoint, Steve, of teams that are playing competitively for the last 2 weeks or month of a season against a team that hasn't. And, the Dodgers or the Astros or the Nationals, it could be, it's somewhat of a problem. But it's only a problem, I think, maybe in the first day, in the first game of a playoff series. We've seen it. We've seen it often, Steve. Teams in the NFL, man, doesn't really matter how you're playing in November. It's that sort of December stuff. Teams that heat up in December, it does carry over into the playoffs.
You know why I think it's changed, Gabe? It's because the game has changed. It's a passing game now. And we see that in the bowl games as well. Back in the 90s and the early 2000s, when the teams of the first round bye, they won and covered like clockwork. These are ground and pound teams like the Giants under Parcells, the Redskins under Gibbs. Now they're all these West Coast passing attacks. So I think having a couple weeks off sometimes messes up your rhythm and your momentum. I think that's what's maybe changed. You could use the same analogy with starting pitchers in the playoffs. So I think if the Nationals are smart, they need to limit the innings for these guys, but they have to keep them on the same rotation, every 5 games or so. or at least do that a couple weeks before the playoffs start. Rest them now. Get them back on their rhythm a couple weeks before the postseason.
Before the year started, I said it would be the Los Angeles Dodgers versus the Boston Red Sox in the World Series. And you can make a strong argument right now, but that could potentially happen. But like we just discussed, it's a reset. I thought Boston was going to beat Cleveland last year, and Cleveland swept them, didn't they? But the Red Sox are scorching right now. Absolutely scorching. Winners of 10 of their last 11. And speaking of the Tribe, they're playing each other this week, Steve.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at the top three teams in the American League in my power rankings, Boston is fourth overall, Indians are seventh, the Yankees are eighth. Boston just won at New York last night in extra innings. That was the Yankees' 19th loss of the bullpen, and they're our 20th blown save of the season. So that super strong bullpen is starting to show some holes now in New York. So I do think it's going to be either Cleveland or Boston, and it's going to be the division winners because it's like the, you know, we talked about Martin Truex having that huge lead going into the playoffs. It's the same thing in baseball. You almost have only a 50-50 shot of even advancing to the divisional round if you're the wild card. So you have to be the divisional winner to really have a shot to win. Obviously, teams do it from the wild card, but if you're doing it from a betting perspective, it's really hard to take them because you could be done in one game.
Yeah, you get much better odds that day before that wild card game, Steve, for those teams. It's true.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, the wild card team for the future odds. If you like that team, you grab the odds because the odds, they get cut in half, basically. Steve's bringing a ton of great points. Kansas City Royals, we should note David Price threw 120 pitches in a rehab workout. He's getting closer to returning. Dustin Pedroia is hurt right now, though, swelling in his knee, and they're trying to blame Manny Machoda, and even Pedroia put the fire out and said, no. It's, you know, I've been turning double plays and playing in the league for a long time. Back off the Machado stuff. Boston media, man, they're always looking for trouble. Kansas City Royals, I gave them my blessing. I said the Royals are a sleeper. They're going to go to the playoffs. And they're falling apart ever since. They're in a free fall. They've lost 3 of 10. They've lost 10 of their last 14 games. With that being stated, I actually kind of like them tonight. They're plus 100, but they're falling to 14th in your poll.
Yeah, and a couple months ago, about a month into the season, they were 30th, dead last in my rankings. So if we fast forwarded to right now, mid-August, and said they were 14th, you'd be like, oh, Kansas City must be hot. But they've lost 10 of their last 14, like you said, because they were unbelievably hot for the past couple months. And it looks like, you know, they're coming to, they're regressing back to the middle.
But they could get hot again, Steve. That's the thing, because we talk about these streaks. They couldn't stay that hot forever. Now they're, all right, now they're struggling. I think they still have another run in them. It's just going to be one of these deals, man. Whoever sort of gets hot and wins 5 in a row, I think in the last week of the season, they're still in this right now. But they got to win this series against the Athletics. And Oakland are a decent home team.
And it's amazing what a different team they are now, Kansas City. They win the World Series 2 years ago, maybe the worst offense in recent history for a World Series team. Now they've been making this run the last couple months by being one of the best offensive teams in baseball. And even after losing 10 of the last 14, they've still gone over in 7 of their last 9 games.
Here's the definition of a streaky team, in which the Minnesota Twins surprised us all this year. And you and I both said there's no way the Twins are going to be able to sustain this pace. So, you know, they were very similar to the Milwaukee Brewers. And then reality started to set in for the Twins going into the All-Star break, coming out of the All-Star break. But here they are once again, Steve. Boom. We talk about it. The game of streaks. And here are the Twins. They've won 8 of their last 10 games. Their offense is killing it. As you wrote, they 54 hits over the weekend. They've got some big games this week, too.
Yeah, and, you know, Bartolo Colon has won 2 straight outings, and he's actually hanging in there. I mean, the guy's got to be, what, mid-40s?
44.
44.
Yeah, and he probably weighs about 440 pounds. And
exactly.
And he said, Steve, you remember, he retired because he goes, hey, man, it was enough. I'm done. So after the Braves let him go, he signs with the Twins. He gets lit up a couple of times, so much so that he went into the manager's office and he said, listen, if I don't pitch well into my next start, I got to retire. I don't like embarrassing myself. And they told him, no, hang in here. We need you down the stretch. We believe in you. You're going to turn it around. And ever since then, he's actually pitched well.
I mean, you hate to say it, but like you probably could have been one of the greatest athletes of all time. For him to be this good and be that heavy and be in his mid-40s and still competing, you look at guys that play like into their 40s, like Nolan Ryan was pretty fit, you know, really strong legs, took care of himself. And you look at Colon, I mean, you know, most guys who are great athletes can't even make the majors. Cologne made it despite all of that.
It could have helped
him. It's remarkable.
It could have helped him. And you know what? In his prime, he wasn't really fat. Like, I remember I was doing the Expos games. I was covering the Expos when we traded for him, actually. He was big, but, he, you know, he wasn't fat. But it really is amazing how long he's been around. We should note, though, with Bartolo Colon, and I'm not even kidding, Steve, he had stem cell surgery done that's not,
I forgot.
Yeah, it's not sanctioned in North America even. You know, the stem cell research and
that.
All this stuff. So he was the first guy to do it, and it wasn't in the books. It's not against the rules, but baseball made it against the rules after. So I've always joked, he's got like the stem cells in the blood of a 12-year-old, Steve, flowing in there.
Hey, I think there's something to that. I don't think that's a joke at all. I'd forgotten all about that, actually. I think
that's a serious test for someone
that's in their mid-40s.
You're damn right. He got this about 4 years ago, man. 3-4 years ago. It saved his career. There's no doubt about it. You know, I don't know what they did in his arm, man. But like I said, it was stem cell research and stuff. And he got it done in the Dominican where there's no rules. It's true. Steroids are legal there. You can buy steroids at the pharmacy. So, you know, there's no rules. He got it done. And another guy did, too. I forget who. There's another player that did it. And that's when baseball put an end to this. They said, no. This is, you know, you guys can't do this stuff. So, you know, Colon got away with it. So, you had the Minnesota Twins, surprise, still hanging around. How about a hot team right now, Steve? And I don't know. You talk about momentum. Remember a couple of years ago, they had the rally squirrel. The squirrel went on the field. They went on to win the World Series. Now in St. Louis, the other night, they had the cute little kitten on the field. They hit a grand slam. They win a baseball game. And these guys are freaking red hot. I know they lost yesterday, but they had won 8 in a row before that. And as you write, their offense, man, 8 consecutive overs for the Cardinals.
Yeah, you know, with the future odds, you usually can only play the yes. You know, some of the offshore books will let you take the no at, you know, plus money on, or, you know, the other way. You almost feel like you should maybe put a little bit down to the Dodgers not to win the World Series, because baseball has more long shots win than you ever see. In fact, the Cardinals were as high as 1,000 to 1 a month before the playoffs began that year, few years back when they made that run. 1,000 to 1, and you didn't have to tie your money up. In fact, it was 40 to 1 when the season started. You could have held your money for an extra 5 months and then gotten 1,000 to 1 a month before the playoffs.
My buddy got him at 100 to 1 last week.
So, yeah, that's how you make money. And the Kansas City Royals were a pretty big long shot a couple years ago as well. And didn't they do it from the wild card 2 years ago, I think?
Yeah, they did. I think when they were in the wild card, they lost in the World Series. I think they lost that time, but it made it to the World Series, the wild card.
Right. Well, either them or the
they had home
the
field.
Made it.
When they won, I remember they had home field against the Blue Jays. So the Royals were good like the year they won. But the first year when they made it to the World Series, they were the wild card.
And he could have hedged it back because you're probably getting like 40 to 1 when the playoffs began on the wild card team. So, baseball, you really don't want to be playing favorites. And that's another reason the Nationals have been such a burner, because they've been one of the favorites every year.
Can you take the Angels then? Because this, you know, and I want to quickly get to NASCAR. The Angels have to be defined as the biggest surprise of the year right now. Like, seriously, man. Like, if the season ends right now, the Angels are in the playoffs, Steve. You want to talk about long shots? Imagine walking into a book and telling them the day Mike Trout went down. They sucked when Mike Trout got hurt. They sucked with Mike Trout. Mike Trout got hurt. They were like, oh, man, this is going to be a bad baseball team. And here they are right now. They're 10-3 in their last 13, and the playoffs started right now. The Angels are in the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. When you said the team that, you know, maybe the long shot, I actually thought you were about to say the Angels. I've got them 11th, and I got the Cardinals 10th, so I agree with both of those. Now, the question is, are they the Kansas City Royals, where they're going to cool off here in the next couple of weeks? Because they probably do. But we still have a month and a half to go. They could heat up in mid-September and still make a playoff run.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right. And you quickly on Colorado. They're sort of in a free fall right now. They're lucky they won as many games as they did. Braves out Rockies tonight.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, three of the top six are in the NL West, Arizona, Colorado, and L.A. It's just very hard seeing how much they have to play each other that they're, you know, all three of those teams are going to make the playoffs. So something has to give.
All right, so speaking of playoffs, Kyle Larson's going to be in the playoffs. It's too bad they don't go to Michigan again, though, do they? It's a good thing for the rest of the field, because this kid would have won there again. You know, sometimes things are too obvious, but sometimes the simplest thing is the correct answer, isn't it, Steve? And here he is again. Kyle Larson wins for the third straight freaking time on this track.
Yeah, it seemed obvious, but if you'd had it into regulation, he wouldn't even have won a top three bet for you yesterday.
It's insane. He led two laps all day.
Right. He was in fourth place at the end of 400. So
that's racing.
Tremendous restart.
That's racing, Steve. I got a horse race now. Trust me, man. Sometimes we run really hard and we finish in fifth and it's baffling. And sometimes we finish in first and it's like, I don't know. Like, I guess there's a lot of game of chance out here in racing. It's all circumstance and timing.
Well, yeah, but the difference in horse racing, you don't have restarts, because he won that thing on the restart.
Yeah, I wish
and he actually had a lot of second place finishes this year, Gabe, and he could have won about half of those had he restarted better. So maybe he's picking it up now, because he went from fourth to first, where he couldn't even go from second to first earlier this year. All four of his wins have now been on 2 mile tracks, three straight at Michigan. The other one came at California last year. But none of those are on the playoff circuit. Martin Truex Jr. was extremely strong again yesterday. Keselowski led the most laps but finished 17th from the pole. Logano terrible again, his teammate. Keselowski's been good. Logano still hasn't. And quickly, Truex and Jones were running 1-2 near the end. Would Truex have let Jones win to get into the chase, his teammate, had it come down to that? That would have been fascinating.
Yeah, I think he probably would have. Eric Jones, a career-high best third-place finish. I think Truex is going to win it all. You raised a good point as far as the points format. We'll talk about that in the coming weeks. But my boy Joey Logano, I know, Steve, I'm going down in flames with him, and I'm going to take him again. He finished 28th. He's running out of time. I think it's because he had that baby. You know, he's like, well, you know, life, and I'm happy. He's got the baby and stuff, but I like this. He says he's confident about Bristol. I like this honesty. He says, I'm not going to say I don't have a chance at Darlington, but... He goes, I like my chances at Bristol out of the three. And he goes, it's my favorite track. He's won there twice before. And he loves it there. He said he set his best practice times of the year. Ironically, it's also where he got nailed for the encumbered finish.
And here's the thing, Gabe. You know, my thing about Logano's been bad ever since he got that encumbered finish. Here's my new thing to keep an eye out for. There was rumors that Toyota was going to start sandbagging because they've been so dominant this year.
Yep.
And Keselowski got the pole in a Ford. Six of the top 10 yesterday, including the winner, were Chevys. So keep an eye on the Toyotas for the next couple weeks as they might sandbag until the chase so that they don't limit their horsepower.
Great point. Steve Merrill, check him out, prosportsinfo.com. He's also one of the covers experts over at covers.com. He's been on fire all summer long. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us. Yeah, Steve's a very consistent winner, very steady. You know, Steve's a steady dude, meticulous, as you can tell. Howard Bender joins us next.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year. Much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are now joined by a man who's going to talk some fantasy football with us, and a man that I think that probably has the coolest Twitter handle of all of our guests, actually. Howard Bender steps up and in. Roto Buzz guy. That's a great, great Twitter handle. And I'm thinking, you know what? Some people would say my Twitter handle should just be the Buzzed guy. So, you know, Roto Buzz, pretty good, though. I'm a great Twitter handle, Howard. Great job there. Roto Buzz guy. I like it.
Thanks very much. You know, yeah, I like the double entendre that it kind of brings to the table here.
Makes people think. Multiple meanings, right? Makes people think. And you see, Howard, I guess it's on the 26th, so 2 weeks, not this weekend, the following weekend. Major League Baseball players are allowed to put whatever name they want, nicknames on the back of the jerseys for the weekend. And so you're not a fan of this. Come on, Howard. You don't sense me as like you're not a purist, traditionalist, shave those sideburns type of guy, are you?
No, I'm not. But you know what? To a certain extent, listen, you know, it's a media thing. It's a money thing. It's, hey, let's sell more jerseys here. Let's try and, you know, make a little money. You know what? Take the proceeds from these jerseys and put it towards making it more affordable for a family of four to take in a game at the ballpark. And then I'm fine with it. But in the meantime, this is just yet another way to line pockets here. And for that, I'm against it.
All right. So You're not buying. You're not going to be buying any of the gimmick jerseys. I was going to say though, the Blazin' Kid's got Just Blaze, and people are like, "Oh, that's immature." And I'm like, "That's pretty cool." I'm like, "I guarantee you, they're going to sell a lot of those to the Stoners in Milwaukee, man. You know, Just Blaze, right? They're going to, and it's an official game jersey. They're going to love it. They're going to love that." But you know what, Howard? Because I see some people, and there's actually 58 players in the league that aren't doing it.
They're like, that aren't doing it.
Yeah, 58 guys are old school. They're like, "I'm not doing that. That's no. I don't believe in fun." I guess these guys are like, "No, I'm not. I'm not doing any name thing." So there's 58 guys that aren't doing it. But what I will say, and I get the some people. It's kind of a it's a gimmick, etc. But baseball, at the same point in time, baseball needs to be fun, Howard. Baseball needs to reach out to the NBA crowd, so to speak. And you see it right in your backyard in your area, man. You see the Warriors when they do their Asian jerseys and they do their different type of community-based jerseys. People eat that stuff up, man, and they love it, all right? And, you know, I think baseball needs to do this. To me, if it gets baseball some fun publicity, I don't have a problem with it.
You know, listen, they do it here also. They do the Gigantes. And they cater to the different ethnicities, and they do the different nights like that. I love when they do Grateful Dead Night at AT&T Park. That's yep. always a favorite of mine. You know, Bill Walton's always there. They always bring the remaining guys from the dead to sing the national anthem. There's always like a nice Steal Your Face logo with the Giants mixed in there. So, I mean, they do plenty of stuff here. To me, it's just this is yet another – this is like a real, like, desperate reach to do something. Name – you know, with the nicknames on the back, you know, Buster Posey's nickname is? It's Buster.
Yeah,
seriously?
That's weak. That's weak. Like, yeah. You know what I said Bronson Arroyo should be? I suck. Be great.
Is that a nickname?
I wish some guy would just have the balls and the sense of humor overpaid. You know, just put it on the back, overpaid.
Not worth
or,
it.
Yeah, not worth it. Just, or I play for money. You know what I mean? I play for money. That's what mine would have been. F you, pay me. That's F you, pay me with the catch in center field.
How you doing? Johnny Paycheck right here.
Yeah. I like that. F you, pay me, man. That's who I am. All right, so speaking of the No Fun League and No Fun, let's talk a little NFL football right now. I want to get your take on a rookie that I'm buying all in on. I watched him play in his first game. It's rare that you have a rookie in which the coaching staff, even if they know he's going to start in week one, they don't want to feed his ego and say, "Yeah, you're number one on the depth chart, kid." Dalvin Cook is number one on the depth chart. Like, point blank. You're our starting running back. You're number one on the depth chart. Played his first game, ADP 21. 46 overall, played his first game against the Buffalo Bills, against the Bills starters, with the Vikings starters. Only five carries, only 13 yards. You know, the Bills defense was fired up for McDermott's first game. But what I liked was the production out of the backfield. He was able to catch four balls for 30 yards. He's got the speed in open field, but he showed the ability to catch the ball, and he also showed an ability to protect the quarterback a little bit. A lot of people are talking about all these other rookie guys and, oh, Joe Mixon this and, oh, Leonard Fournette that. I think Dalvin Cook is going to be a massive part of this Vikings offense, man. I really do. What's your take, Howard?
I think you're 1,000% right. He is going to be a huge part of this offense, and he deserves to be a part of this offense. Let's face it. First of all, Latavius Murray is garbage, okay? The guy's always banged up. He's always got an issue. Coaches don't like his upright running style. Coaches don't like his crappy work ethic. I think that there was real buyer's remorse from the Vikings when they ended up signing Latavius Murray. I don't think they did their full amount of homework on him that they should have done. So, you know, I think that's punishment right there. They draft a guy like Dalvin Cook. Now, Dalvin Cook, yeah, he's already taken the spot on the depth chart there. Latavius Murray has already conceded that spot on the depth chart. We sit here and we look at a lot of situations, and you know, when you talk about rookies, and you can talk about guys like Joe Mixon, you can talk about guys like Leonard Fournette, it's all about opportunity as much as it is about talent. Joe Mixon might have great talent, but the opportunity is not exactly there right now. You've got Jeremy Hill, you got Gio Bernard. Leonard Fournette, yeah, you know what? He's got the opportunity here, but they still have Ivory. They still have Yeldon. They're still not fully committing to him. What I love so much about what Minnesota's got going on right now, I think Pat Shurmur was a perfect candidate for the offensive coordinator job, has great rapport with Sam Bradford, knows a lot about what Sam Bradford does and what his tendencies are.
Yep.
And for that, he can turn around. I mean, that's the main reason why he turned Kyle Rudolph into such a great tight end last season, because he told Kyle Rudolph, okay, this is what Bradford does when he rolls out to the left. This is what Bradford, where he looks when he rolls out to the right. This is what you have to do when you need to block for him. And I think that that's what's going on right now with Dalvin Cook and Sam Bradford and Pat Shurmur as well. And I think Dalvin Cook is learning a lot better about what his quarterback needs, wants, and expects from him. And for that reason, that's why he's going to continue to excel. Forget Jerick McKinnon. Forget Latavius Murray. Dalvin Cook, and with the pass catching that he did show over this past weekend, he is showing that he's capable of not just pass blocking, but pass catching as well, and taking this job every down back.
Yeah, and the Minnesota Viking offensive line is okay, but it's not great. It's going to be a great outlet for Bradford, and we saw that. Bradford loves the little dink and dunk. He can, you know, no problems right there. And what I like as well is the fact the kid can explode. He can turn something into nothing into something. And what I like as well, there's not a lot of competing factors. You mentioned Rudolph, but there's no, you know what, this guy's going to get the 125 targets. It's not like he's going to have to fight for it. He could turn into the offensive star of the team. I wanted to get your take. We've all had a couple of days to soak in the big trades on Friday from a fantasy perspective. They're so happy in L.A. right now because Goff went 3-for-4. they're all like, man, no, I'm dead serious. I've been following it closely, right? They're all like, man, you look good. We're really happy. You know, it's almost like, all right, that was one series. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. Sean Mannion's better than all of them there. Their offense would be more efficient with Mannion, but nevertheless, they're liking Goff. And, hey, listen, McVay did a nice job in Washington with the passing game, with Kirk Cousins, et cetera. And obviously, I think with this coach, it's going to help Goff more than a guy like Jeff Fisher can help him. But what do you do with the Rams from a fantasy perspective? I was sort of flirting with Gurley a little bit before. You know, I think he's better than people are giving him credit for, but I don't know if I should even bother. Should I touch anybody on this team? And what do you make of Watkins there now?
I think Gurley is the only guy that you want to touch on this team right now. Gurley is the guy who's going to see the ball 20 carries a game. He's going to keep getting the rock. That's the way McVay is going to set this up. Sammy Watkins coming over there doesn't do anything for his fantasy value. In fact, it probably hurts Sammy's fantasy value a little bit more just because Goff is as inexperienced as he is, because the offensive line, it's made improvements, but it's not fantastic here. So you're still going to have to deal with a lot of growing pains there. Sammy's arrival also hurts the value of Cooper Kupp. You know, here was a kid who was getting all sorts of, you know, pre-draft helium. Everybody was sitting there thinking about, oh, Cooper Kupp's going to start being a monster in PPR. Sammy's presence there is going to draw a lot of the targets away from Kupp. So as far as the passing game goes, it's still garbage. It's still not something I'm really that interested in, but it just gives a little bit of legitimacy, just a little bit of legitimacy to the passing attack, which means that defenses can't just sit there and just focus on the run, stack 8 men in the box against Gurley the entire time, and it will free him up for a little bit more.
Yeah, even if Watkins, you're right, as the peripheral decoy, so to speak. Like, and there's right. Tavon Austin, so you got a lot of speed. So you're right, they can't just jam the box right now. We got less than a minute. I always tell people, I play in some high roll cash leagues and stuff, and we don't have our drafts until after the third preseason game. The fourth preseason game, whatever, the starters, it doesn't matter. But I tell people to wait all the time. Quickly on this, what do you do with Elliott if you're in a draft tomorrow? Ezekiel Elliott, or do you think he's getting six? Will it get drawn out to next year? Do you be ballsy and just take them anyways? And, you know, what do you do? How do you handle this?
I'm letting them fall. I'm letting other people take them in redraft leagues. Keeper leagues is a little bit different of a story, but the bottom line is that they specifically said that the pulling down the woman's top and the bar fight in Dallas had nothing to do with the 6-game suspension, which tells me that they want to turn around and say, well, the guy couldn't stay out of trouble during the year he was being investigated, so why should we drop his suspension from 6 games to 4? I think they'll eventually drop it to 4, but I think the 6 could hold pretty sternly here.
Howard Bender, RotoBuzz guy. Howard, great stuff. Thanks for the time, man.
Gabe, thanks so much, man. Always a pleasure.
There's Howard Bender with us, right? We'll take a quick break. George Kurtz joins us next. We'll talk some Major League Baseball DFS.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
First, you don't succeed. Try again.
Yeah, they couldn't afford it. Yeah, they could legally, though, I'm saying. Hey, George.
What's going on, Gabe? How are you?
Good, good. It's talking football, but let's get some baseball talk in here.
Sounds good.
Oh, I didn't get the Jordan Matthews injury tomorrow.
Sternum.
Cool. Chip fracture in his sternum. Yeah, great.
Yeah, week to week. He should be okay by week one.
Yeah, but he's just there, though. He needs to get some chemistry on the practice field, you know?
Listen, I drafted him in, like, at least half my league so far. I was big on not happy. I finally drafted Watkins. I drafted Watkins last Tuesday. First league, because I don't really like him.
That's fine. We'll bring this up quickly before we get to baseball. And Watkins, yeah, and he's worse off now in L.A.
I mean, it's like, you know, I've been against him and railing against him. I don't want Watkins.
Okay, we'll bring this up. We're going to bring this up. That's fucking funny that you drafted both of them. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We've got fantasy football fever, and I know you do too. Go over to rotoexperts.com/discount. Promo code RAGE. Promo code RAGE. Get 10% off. You're all but guaranteeing yourself that you're going to be smarter than the people that you're playing in a fantasy football league with. So for like $35, why not win your damn league? All right, go over to rotoexperts.com/discount promo code RAGE. Get 10% off right now. We're going to get to some Major League Baseball DFS with Roto Expert George Kurtz. But quickly, we've got to talk a little football. And I just want to bring up Jordan Matthews, of course, traded on Friday. Jordan Matthews has already gotten injured because, of course, he's a member of the Buffalo Bills. Now, he got hurt, chip fracture in his sternum. That doesn't sound very good. Yet, you know, we're still 3-plus weeks away from the start of the National Football League regular season. But with that being stated, I'd like to see Matthews be on the practice field and get some chemistry a little bit with Tyrod Taylor. I told you guys, and I always tell you guys, you got to wait for your drafts, man. Even though everyone's got the fantasy football fever, because you might have drafted a Jordan Matthews or a Sammy Watkins, or like George Kurtz, who actually you somehow drafted both of these guys before the trade.
Yeah, I had Matthews in several leagues already. I was high on Matthews of Philadelphia. They would have put him back in the slot. It was going to be a good thing. I didn't mind the trade to Buffalo, but as you mentioned, he has to be on the practice field, has to learn those routes, has to learn the chemistry with Taylor. And now, does he get back on the practice field next week? He's week to week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, right before the season. Certainly not a good thing. Yeah, I'm concerned. It's disappointing.
Yeah. Welcome to fantasy football season's here, isn't it? I have pretty good luck with injuries in fantasy football. Fantasy basketball, I'm freaking cursed, Howard. Like, I used to think it was kind of an anomaly, but no, I'm cursed. Like, my teams always get injured. In basketball, you're screwed. You can't replace stuff. And I know you talked about this. Baseball, it's almost whose players get injured less. Like, I saw you talking about it. You beat me. I had 9 guys on the DL at once, 9 impact guys. I was toast. And I saw you tweet. You had 13 guys on the DL at once.
In one league. I mean, this 10-day DL, which I kind of get, protect the players, but these baseball managers, they're using this to their advantage. They're massaging it. You have a hangnail, 10-day DL, you go.
Yeah.
If it comes to game of attrition, who stays healthy?
All right, let's talk baseball. We'll pick up the pace here. We got about 5 minutes. Kevin Gausman on the hill tonight. Hey, I doubt he's going to be highly owned. Why do you like Gausman tonight?
He's hot again, right? I mean, we start 2 pitches, but if we need a cheap one, he's 8,500 on DraftKings. 3-1 his last 6 starts. 3.5 ERA, striking out more than a batter per inning. If you need a cheap second starter, 8,500, I don't mind him tonight.
No, you're right. You know what? He gave up 4 runs in his last start, but before that, he was 3-0 with a 0.65 earned run average in his 4 starts before that. Melky Cabrera. The Kansas City Royals are cold right now, but Melky's not one of them. He's hot right now. Killing it, man. 13 hits, 8 RBIs, 2 home runs in his last 36 at-bats.
Since going to KC, I guess he needed to get out of Chicago, get a little reinvigorated. He's 17 for 52, 3 home runs, 14 RBIs, even stole a base. So, yeah, I'm big on Melky right now. He's hitting a ton. And the Royals, you know, they're not winning games, but they're hitting the ball. You got Merrifield hitting a ton in front of them. Hosmer's hitting. So I like Melky right now. He's the definition of ride the hot guy. He's not someone in a redraft league. I'd be dying to go out and get here because this is going to end. But I like him right now, 4,400 on DraftKings. I think he's a must play for me.
I think it's a nice spot against Cotton as well. Gave up 3 home runs in his last start. Cotton hasn't won a game since June the 23rd. Here's a quick guy here in Drew Butera, $2,000. It's been a lot of singles, but he's 8 for 18 in his last 18 at-bats.
Yeah, look at the same stats, batting .333 his last 14 games. No power. But I'm assuming you go, maybe you could do the same thing I do. Catcher, I like to be cheap. If I'm not going to spend $4,500 on Gary Sanchez tonight, then why not go as cheap as possible? Maybe gets a couple of knocks, gets me a couple of points. I have no problem saving money at catcher in order to spend money on my pitchers or my outfielders.
All right, so here's a guy coming off a massive game yesterday, and you're looking for some big production from Josh Donaldson, $4,500.
He's back. The calf injury looks healed. All of a sudden, he's hitting home runs. Last 14 games, 6 home runs, 15 RBIs, batting .333. He's still only priced at $4,500. Most important to me, he looks like the Josh Donaldson we were drafting him as in March when he was a first-round pick. I don't care how he played the first four months of the season. I only care about right now, and right now he's hot.
You know what's interesting? Against Odorizzi, he's only faced him 22 times and 22 at-bats, and he struck out 9 times, but he's hit 4 home runs. It's all or nothing. You know, so
he doesn't have a put-away pitch. Odorizzi has a really he can get you to two strikes, but he can't put you away. But Donaldson's either been all or nothing against him.
All right, here's a guy I don't think will be heavily owned either. Quickly on Souza Jr., $3,700. Just some interesting numbers and lines against specifically against the Blue Jays. For some reason, he's 13-35 this year with a home run and 7 RBIs against Jays pitching.
Listen, that's Nick Teppish going tonight, man. I could think about stacking Tampa Bay tonight. I don't like Teppish at all. I think he's going to get wrecked. Souza's in a little bit of a slump, but he is hitting for power lately. 25 home runs on the year. I'm actually a big Souza guy, and once again, 3,700 tonight. That's Nick Teppish. This guy is not a major pitcher.
I like the Rays to win this game. You got to roll the dice in DFS sometimes too, right? That's the key. All right, so people aren't going to be rolling the dice here with Stanton. Unbelievable. The guy's on a freaking tear. Homer in 4 straight games. Now 250 home runs in 941 career games. 6th fastest player in Major League Baseball history to get to 250. 10th youngest player to get to 250 in Major League Baseball. The guy's hit a home run in 21 of his last 33 freaking games, man.
I think he's a must start, right? We got to ride this. You can't not start him right now. Everything's going out. He mishit a ball yesterday that went out the right field down the line. So if he's not hitting the ball 500 feet, the ball's still going out of here. He's doing what Aaron Judge was doing earlier in the year. Stanton's doing it now. I don't think I have a choice. I don't think it matters who the pitcher is. He has to be in my lineup.
And finally, we got less than a minute. We got Upton on the board, 4,500 tonight.
You know, I'm maybe a little bit worried. Cabrera's banged up. Kinsler's banged up. Maybe they're not in the lineup. But Upton's had a fantastic season this year. 4,500 is not a lot to ask. And he's had a better season than people think. I think he's top 10 MVP overall.
Yes, 7 hits in his last 16 at-bats. Hit safely in 4 straight games. And Martin Perez has been a gas can as well.
Left-handed, too, in Texas. I'm definitely going with Justin Upton tonight. I think he hits one out.
George Kurtz with us. All right, George, next time we talk, we'll talk some football. Football season rapidly approaching. We encourage people to go over to Roto Experts. And don't forget, rotoexperts.com/discount, 10% off, promo code RAGE. You're going to win your fantasy football league. George, always a pleasure.
Same here, Gabe. Good luck tonight.
There's George Kurtz with a quick break. We'll come back with our Major League Baseball plays of the day.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Time for our plays of the day. Although, let me warn you guys, these are recreational plays, all right? We're gearing up for the football season, and we're going to come out locked and freaking loaded with some massive locks of the week, baby. But recreational with these baseball picks, okay? We're going light. Tampa Bay Rays to get it done. I don't trust that Teppish. The Marlins, these guys are red hot right now, man. Stanton's hit home runs in 21 of his last 33 games and 4 games in a row. Ride the wave. Baseball's a game of streaks. Give me the Marlins minus 55 cents. Kansas City Royals. I told you the Royals were a good play on at 25-1 to win a World Series, or at least get there. I gave them the kiss of death. They've sucked ever since, but give me them at plus 100. And the Mariners, give me the Mariners tonight. May the winners be yours.